Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy for Saturday, October 13th. I'm your host, Yvonne Brown, coming to you live from Chicago, Illinois, on the second Saturday of each month. Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy is an interactive live internet talk radio show that focuses on how to take advantage of the opportunities that life sends your way. The program explores obstacles overcome by ordinary people with extraordinary results and what inspires or motivates them to take positive actions that make their dreams a reality. I know a little about that myself, as I've had 10 careers. I started as a fashion model, then rock and roll singer, corporate consultant, adjunct professor, and today I'm a professional speaker, author, coach, I'm a blogger, and a radio show host. All right, let's set the tone for today's program. Dale Carnegie said, "Don't be afraid to give your best to what seemingly are small jobs. Every time you conquer one, it makes you that much stronger. If you do the little job, and you do the little jobs well, the big ones will tend to take care of themselves." Today's show is brought to you by Budgetpreneur.com. If you find that you have very little money to invest in your business and still need to get things done, stop putting those things off. Go to Budgetpreneur.com. They provide the resources and tools to help you manage your business, save money, and increase revenue. Visit www.budgetpreneur.com and become a member today. Okay, let's get started. By the way, if you're listening online and call in to ask a question, please mute your computer first. The number to call in is 646-381-4198. We have a superb show for you today. Our topic is Power Through Your Interview. In today's tough economy with unemployment at one of its highest levels, the competition for jobs is fierce. Today, we will share how to power through that interview and get the job you seek. But first of all, consider this. What's your story? Do you even know what you know? Can you get that across? Can you get your best capabilities out quickly and powerfully? Is your resume even ready for prime time, or does it scream old, inexperienced? You're more than your skill set, and you must be ready to close the deal by properly getting your story across. In today's segment, we'll discuss telling your story, interview coaching, resume optimization, packaging and presentation, and then taking it to the next level. Okay. Our guest this month is Diane Bochy. Let me tell you a little bit about her. For more than 20 years, Diane has served the world's most recognized company, Coca-Cola, as an accomplished human resources director and as a senior consultant recruiting for their corporate positions. Over the years, Diane has conducted more than 10,000 interviews at all job levels. This wealth of experience makes her an expert in job design, screening, and interviewing skills, and candidate selection. Diane holds a bachelor's degree in management science, is a certified professional career coach, and certified targeted selection behavioral interview instructor. Her website, by the way, is www.theinterview.us.com. Welcome, Diane.
Well, thank you, Yvonne. I am delighted to be here with you and with your listeners today, and I truly hope that everyone will be able to take some portion of what we talk about today and use it to their benefit. I think the reason that I initially began this business is, as you mentioned, I've done over 10,000 interviews. Of those 10,000 interviews, there were 100 or so that I would say, I call them showstoppers. They were walk-off home runs. They were just that type of interview. And what I began to set back and notice is what were the commonalities between those types of interviews. And I took that information, and that's how I developed part of what I call my five big deals that we use in the interview process, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But the main thing I like to stress to people is absolutely be prepared for an interview. And some people view preparation differently than others do. I don't care if you're interviewing for a job that pays $150,000 a year or if it's a minimum wage job. I want you to think about what that job is worth financially for the first year, for the second year, for the third year. I want you to think truly what it is. I don't care what kind of job it is. That interview that you're walking into is a $50,000 meeting, minimum $50,000. So you need to prepare as such. And the bottom line is getting a job is a job. And so today I'm going to cover four important topics: your resume, how to market yourself, how to tell your story, and packaging and presentation. And honestly, each one of those segments, we could cover a whole 30-minute show with them. So I'm just going to go through quickly and hit on the high points. So first, let's talk about how you get to that interview in the first place, and that's with your resume. So optimize your resume. When a search engine is looking at your resume, it reads it from top to bottom and from left to right. And the words are weighted based on their location in both the body of the resume and their location in the sentence. So you want to remove superfluous words. Don't say, assisted my manager with the design of our sales brochure. Simply say, sales brochure design, or brochure design and delivery. See what I mean? Remove the superfluous words.
Yes.
Don't write out detailed job descriptions. For the most part, you're applying for similar type jobs. You don't need to truly explain to someone what a hostess is or what an accounts payable clerk is or what a, you know, sales and use tax accountant is. They pretty much know what that is. So briefly summarize the role, and then with emphasis on the most important elements of the position, and rank them in order of importance. Oftentimes I see resumes where, again, remember that search engine is reading it from top to bottom and left to right. So the lower it is in the body of that segment, it's got lower weight. So rank them in order of importance. The most important things that you worked on obviously should be higher up in your list of duties that you did there. And rank them particularly according to the position that you're applying for. So always look at it as though look at it from the employer's perspective. What would they be looking for? And here's a big key, and I call it quantifying the business and your role. And what I mean here is, you know, if you name the business, talk about what the whatever is applicable, what the annual sales revenue or the product volume, the number of employees, those types of things. Give the person who's looking at it some scope of the business. And the bottom line is speak the language of the business. This is going to give you immediate credibility. So even if you think you don't have any business experience, maybe you're talking about your sorority or your fraternity, indicate the number of people in the chapter, the annual budget, the fundraising revenue that was, you know, that you achieved. So see what I mean? Instead of saying, I was at KD, you talk about the business aspect of it.
I have a question. I've heard that you should have more than one resume, like a generic one and then one that you can modify depending on the position you're going for. Is that true?
Absolutely. I would create a generic or a base resume, whatever you want to call it, and then create an adapted version for each particular position that you apply for. Again, putting yourself back in that company's shoes, what would you be looking for? And then you're going to emphasize those key aspects or key accomplishments that you have that match up with that particular job.
So, how does a person market themselves? So that they can get that job?
I'll tell you. Let me just one more thing on the resumes. At the bottom of your resume, and this leads right into how you market yourself, at the bottom of your resume, put a link to your LinkedIn profile. Because your LinkedIn profile will merge up with your resume. This is where you can give them all of the details, all of the accomplishments, the endorsements, those types of things. So now you ask, how do you market yourself? And I would say one of the first ways you're going to market yourself is by creating that substantive LinkedIn profile. And this is where you're really going to give interested parties the details. You know, get all your accomplishments together. And for heaven's sakes, get a good photo of yourself looking your professional best. Connect and then use it. Connect with relevant groups and add value to those relevant groups. Don't just click and join them. Get into the discussions. Comment on things. Ask questions. Engage. Be involved with it. And then when you're in the flow or in the string of conversations or comments, ask for help. Tell people what you're looking for. You know, show that you can contribute and then ask for help. And you'll be surprised how willing people are to help. The other thing I would say is if you have a Facebook, clean it up. And I would suggest, too, that you create a Facebook business page where you are the business. And, again, connect and contact with people. Tell people what you're looking for. So I love it when somebody has a business card, too. And it doesn't have to have a business name on it. It's just got your name, your cell phone number, your email address, maybe your LinkedIn profile, something like that. So when you're out and about and you're talking to people, you're not leaving it up to them to jot your name and number down on a scrap piece of paper. They're not going to be as likely to go into work and hand off a scrap piece of paper to their HR director as they are go in and hand a business card and say, I met this guy at lunch. He was very sharp. You know?
Yeah, and also in today's, I have an iPhone, mobile-driven world, even though you can share your information using your mobile device, sometimes they run out of juice. Sometimes the phone is dead. And so if you don't have an actual card, you miss the opportunity. So it's best to have both of those things.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I've seen it happen plenty of times. Earlier we talked about having a story.
Oh, having
what would you like
each individual
to share
having
that?
Their story. Okay. Now, your story is your five big deals. It's your personal data bank of successful answers. And this is the most important element of the actual interview itself. And now, big deals, when you're doing this, you're building a database of your very best past performances, because we all know that's the best indicator of future performance. So big deals are things that were the most important things you worked on. They were projects or successes. Maybe it was a system conversion to SAP or a new store opening or a merger. Maybe it was something like a fundraiser. It doesn't necessarily have to be a work situation, but things that were important to you, and they were your big deals. And you need to look back through your history and think of these. And I'll tell you, as you begin to jot these down, these five big deals, and you'll shoot for a goal of having 10, you'll begin to think of more. You'll begin to think of others. As you think through the process, things that you've done in the past that you didn't even recognize before as being important elements of your capabilities, you'll see they begin to jump out at you. So the things that I mentioned there, like new store openings or conversions or something, those are just examples. So go back through your own history. These things are the basis for your story, and they're your best examples. So, again, it's going to be an evolving list. So start with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And
also, I think that's helpful, too, when someone says in the interview, tell me about yourself.
Oh,
you have
absolutely.
Something to say.
Absolutely. And you'd be surprised how you'd be shocked to see how many candidates walk into an interview, and, you know, I don't really care what they're going to say to me initially. I just want an icebreaker to get them talking and get them relaxed, and I'll say, so tell me a little bit about yourself, and they'll be like, and they don't have a little elevator speech prepared or rehearsed, something they can quickly get their skill sets out with, and that's why putting these things together ahead of time and then going through them over and over in your mind. So you're going to briefly summarize what the situation was on one of these deals and then put bullet points underneath it and think back through every element. You're going to build every element in it. What was the deal, the situation, what worked, what didn't work, who were the players, who were the difficult people, who were the good people, who helped you, what was the timeline, you know, and it helps to actually draw a timeline out. What did you learn? What lessons did you take away? What were the roadblocks? How did you get through them? How, what was the cost? How did you find the resources? How did you find the materials? Think through every element of each of those situations. And it's not so important what the actual big deal was or your task. That's not important. It's the experiences that you gained from it and using it as a good performance for you. So make that list and then practice it, summarizing those deals out loud in your head, and think through every aspect. Etch those things right there in the front of your brain, in the forefront, so you're ready to pull them out in any type of an interview situation. So common questions that are asked, such as planned, what did you do? You already have this speech patterned in your mind, and you know how to quickly summarize that because you're going to reach right into your personal database, and you're going to tell them about a time. You're going to tell them about one of those situations when things didn't go as planned, and you already know what you're going to say about what you did. And the way you answer it is it was a success. Or they may say, tell me about a time you've had to work with a different difficult person or a difficult manager. You're not sitting there thinking, how can I put this? You already know how you're crisply going to put it, that you worked with this person and how you learned to develop, you know, a work pattern with them. And they often ask questions like that. So these are all questions. Any type of question they ask you, you can quickly and crisply and with substantive information address what they've said to you. You're not sitting there, an unprepared candidate would be sitting there pondering it over in their mind, and they're going to come up with some kind of a mediocre answer, and usually on the way home they're going to kick themselves mentally and go, oh God, why didn't I think of that one, you know. You don't want to, we can all laugh because we've done it, you know.
Yeah.
Let's see. A little secret
Yes. Go ahead. Tell me that secret.
That little secret that I have for you is that most managers do not like to interview, and they feel as awkward about it as the candidate. And believe me, I've had to set in on so many interviews because the managers really don't want to do them. They don't know what to say. They don't like it. They're not comfortable with it. They're like, you go, you talk, I'll listen. But if you get in a situation like that and you have a manager who's interviewing you and there's an awkward silence or a little lull in the interview, you can confidently just pipe up and say, well, one of my favorite projects that I've worked on, and then blah, 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 you quickly talk about one of those successes that you just had. And you weaved it so politely into that interview process. You didn't try to barge in and take over the interview. You just politely said, one of my favorite projects. Go on from there. So, and oftentimes when the interview is nearly over, they'll ask you, is there anything else that you'd like to add? And if you haven't had the opportunity to talk about each one of your successes there, you simply say the same kind of thing. Oh, another project that I worked on gave me the opportunity to learn blah, 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 and you spit out yet another success. So when you close that interview, you have just closed it with a very powerful message. The message that you gave them is, this person has been involved. They've been engaged, they've tackled challenges, they've navigated a project to completion, et cetera, et cetera. You leave them with the impression that they want you. And by the way, those things all come to mind also when they're calculating their salary offer. Who do you think gets the best offer? You know, it's the person who, someone who meets the requirements or somebody who hits that grand slam.
And you want to hit that grand slam. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so you got the resume, you got the keywords, you've got your LinkedIn and your social media, your Facebook page, all that wonderful stuff. You got your story all packaged and ready to go. You got your questions. Now, what about when they ask you, what's your biggest weakness?
Ooh, that's a good one. And let me tell you, they almost always ask it. So
yes.
Go ahead and if you know what your weakness is, go ahead and tell them. But how are you going to tell them? You're going to tell them that you're aware, you are aware of a shortcoming, and this is what you're doing to overcome that. And you're going to already have something in process, and you are feeling very good about the way that, you know, perhaps it's my Excel skills aren't up to par, and, you know, I've signed up to take these at Workforce Alliance. I'm taking these on Tuesday and Thursday nights, and I only have two classes left or something like that. It's okay to go ahead and tell people what it is. And if you truly know what your weak spot is, and you better know what your weak spot is so you can be working on it, if you know what it is, go ahead and tell it. But the way that you're going to tell it is you've recognized this in yourself, you've recognized this shortcoming, and you're addressing it, you're working on it, and you're overcoming it. And that's
sure.
All
or
they want to
get someone like you, Diane, and get a little coaching, right?
So
there
we go.
The coaching prepares them for that. Tell us, why do coaching in preparation, for example, for an interview?
Well, people have mannerisms. You know, you can have a very, very powerful interview, but the bottom line is human beings are going to interview you, and they read nonverbal cues. They read body language. They make associations based on past experiences. And, you know, you can't control those things. And people will tell me all the time, well, my neighbor Frank is a supervisor at XYZ company, and, you know, Frank is helping me get ready for an interview. Well, in all honesty, Frank has probably been through about 5 interviews in his whole life, or maybe they use their beloved Aunt Edna, who's going to help them, who you know, was in Toastmistress. And Aunt Edna's going to rave about their interview techniques, and she believes in her heart of heart that you're the greatest. And she also thinks that little toss that you do with your hair is adorable. An interview coach, well, you're laughing because you know what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
Your interview coach is going to shoot you straight. They're going to say, you need to slow your speech down. You need to speed it up. You need to give more details or less details. And they're honestly going to point out the mannerisms. Hold your head straight. Don't do that. Don't tip your head down. Don't look that way. But those are the smaller things, the mannerisms. I think the most help that I'm able to give people in coaching sessions is to help them truly understand what their capabilities are. So often I know when I talk to them, this is a person who really can do this, who has some great ideas. They're creative thinkers. They're this, they're that. But they can't seem to get it out. They can't seem to tell their own story.
Which leads us to a very important thing that I wanted to ensure as the clock is ticking down here that we get across to our listeners. The packaging and presentation. You get the coach. The coach helps you, and you have all these pieces we've discussed so far. Now, how about packaging and presentation? Can you share with us a little about that?
Absolutely. First of all, know your audience. So try and find out who's going to be interviewing you. And typically a recruiter is going to tell you whether or not you can go there in business casual attire or something like that. I think I'm just going to skip right to the heart of it since I already talked about getting some help with your interview, and it's not necessarily Aunt Edna. The biggest mistake sometimes that older candidates make is they wear dated clothing. and they don't even recognize it as dated clothing. It still feels like a new suit to them. You know, they've only worn it three times, but it, or their reluctance to maintain their hair in a time-appropriate professional style. And that, when I'm talking about that, I'm usually referring to women who will have this, you know, tremendous mane of hair that really is, it just doesn't look, you know, it's not time appropriate. So Google pictures of older executives and see what fits, and you'll begin to see what they should look like. And with younger clients, it's almost always the same thing: inappropriate clothing. Again, know your audience. If you're interviewing for an accountant position at Coca-Cola, you can't wear the same type of suit that you wore if you were interviewing with a trendy San Francisco ad agency. So you can be up to date and you can be modest, you know, be all of those things. I'll tell you what my pet peeve is, and that is someone who wears shoes to an interview that they can't walk confidently and powerfully in. If you're teetering down the hall with me in little baby steps, my first thought is not, this is a power player. So you know what I mean there.
Absolutely.
Hey, let me add a thought quickly that just comes to mind, and it's two things. One is your local workforce alliance is a great place. That's the old unemployment office. It's called different things now in different states. They're great at proofreading your resume for you. And I also love chamber networking events, speed networking events. But anyway, have all kinds of ideas and be happy to help and love to hear from any of your listeners. I am offering your listeners special pricing. They'll get an additional 30-minute session with each hour-long session that they book. So I'd invite folks to visit me and visit my website. Again, it's theinterview.us.com.
Thank you very much. This has been really educational. I have a couple of other little questions I'd like to ask you.
Please.
What is the biggest surprise that you get from your clients?
I'm ashamed to say it. The biggest shock that I've had is the number of human resource clients that I have. And I finally said to a couple of them, Why are you calling me? Why do you think you need me? And they would say, you know, we know what's at stake. We're the ones usually interviewing, but, you know, we haven't been interviewed ourselves, and we know what's at stake. It's so competitive. And it just, it struck me as odd. At first I thought, gee, why are these people calling? But that has been my biggest surprise. By and large, that's the largest group I've had. It's human resource people.
That's wonderful. And listeners, I want you to hold that thought, because we're going to be sharing later on what next month's program is about. Diane's going to be back next month, and I'll tell you the topic title at the end of today's broadcast. But right now, I'd just like to have Diane give any final comments that she would like as part of our wrap-up here.
Absolutely. Again, I'm just delighted to have joined you today. But I want people to remember, this is a minimum of $50,000 meeting that you're walking into, and I want you to have a walk-off home run. I want it to be a showstopper. So prepare your impromptu remarks, as Winston Churchill once said.
That's wonderful. Thank you very, very much. Thank you for this enlightening interview, Diane. And I'd like to thank all of you for listening to the Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy show. I'm your host, Yvonne Brown, coming to you from Chicago, Illinois. And I'll see you next month on the second Saturday at 2 p.m. Central Time, when Diane will return next month to speak about how to really interview coaching managers this time for optimal hiring quickly. Until then, I'll leave you with this thought for the day. The moment you know your dreams can come true, the feeling you get when you know the impossible is very possible, your thoughts and feelings change at that very second in time. Dream big. It might be very useful in the future when you know that dreams do come true, and that's by unknown. Join us next month, and In the meantime, visit us online at blogtalkradio.com/Yvonne F. Brown to share your comments about today's show. And while you're there, become a friend of the show and use the comment box to provide us with some feedback on today's show. Don't forget to visit Diane's website, which is theinterview.us.com. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you for joining us today. If you have a topic that you would like to learn more about, please send it to me at Yvonne@YvonneFBrown.com. You may also use the contact page at www.yvonnefbrown.com, YvonneFBrown.com, to share your comments about today's program or to ask me a question. Until next time, this is Yvonne Brown saying, each day you have the opportunity to get out there on life's playing field or sit on the sidelines. It's always more rewarding to get in the game and play.